are so blessed to be together on the first of the week, as the Lord has commanded. He's done it for our good. It's an encouragement to see you. I'm thankful for all the members that are here, for the visitors that are here. Just a great thing for us to be able to be together and to study from His Word. I'll ask you to go ahead and open in Acts chapter 11. In a few moments, we'll be reading from the text there, starting at verse 19. The book of Acts was written by Luke, who was a physician, was a man who liked things orderly. He wrote his gospel saying he was putting down an orderly event, of an orderly recounting of all the things that that Theophilus, his friend, had been hearing about concerning the Christ. He continues that in the second treatise as he begins in Acts chapter 1. And Luke follows an outline in the book of Acts. Christ told the apostles in Acts chapter 1, that they would be witnesses to His death, burial, and resurrection. They would preach these things that they were witnessing in Jerusalem first, then in Judea, and then Samaria, and on to the ends of the earth. And even as we saw in the reading in Acts chapter 8, the preaching went from Judea out to Samaria. So we see that pattern going through the book of Acts, and then we'll actually follow the Apostle Paul off into other regions. But what we get in Acts chapter 8 is this havoc that came about, this persecution that arose as Saul, who is not an apostle at this time, is persecuting the church. And what happened is the men were scattered, and they went taking the word with them. So we'll pick up the story in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11 at verse 19, you'll notice there's a parallel to what we just read in Acts chapter 8. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, he's now an apostle, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It's interesting, this text begins with the persecution that Saul began over the man Stephen, and it ends with Saul coming and spending a year teaching this church at Antioch. Saul had been converted during this meantime. But what's interesting for us to observe here is the first time the gospel goes out into a new region. The gospel had been being preached really in shadow all through the Old Testament to the Jews. They understood these types and the Christ that was being foreshadowed and foretold. And so when Jesus came, the apostles simply pointed to some of these prophecies in the Old Testament, showed that this man Jesus fulfilled them, and the Jews could link those together. When Peter made his great confession in Matthew chapter 16, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, because it's not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but God." Peter had been examining the Scriptures, and he was comparing Jesus to what he saw in the Scriptures, and he said, "You're the one. You're the one that was prophesied about." But how could you do this among the Gentiles, among people who don't have those Old Testament prophecies? What do you teach them? And so we see a little bit here of how that happened. Today it's hard for us to imagine going into a place where they've never heard of Jesus. The whole world has heard of Jesus. They've got wrong ideas. But that might be exactly why we need to start where these men started. So often we try to undo other people's ideas, but we don't implant the right idea. We don't start where these men started. So often we go into a place and we just try to correct a few errors, or we go in with a vision, but we don't go in where these men went in. And I want to suggest to you that as we go out into the world, we're facing the same world that these men faced. Now, it's more modern, and there's more technology, but people are people. People are still lost in sin. People are confused about what they need to do. Later, in Acts chapter 17, as Paul went into Athens, among all those pagans, he began at creation, and he taught them the God of creation. and he taught them the Christ, the one that's being taught here. So let's go through the text in Acts chapter 11 and look at the details. To me, this is one of the most natural sermons straight from a text that there is. It's so well organized here, the way Luke has put it in Acts 11 for us. We begin in verse 19 with that parallel that we saw in chapter 8. Those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen are now going out beyond Judea and Samaria. They're going out to what would be called the ends of the earth. They've come to this point to Phoenicia. It's the region along the coast of the Mediterranean. We would know it as where the Philistines were. We would know it as where Tyre and Sidon were in the Old Testament, even the New for a while. They're all along the Mediterranean coast. They've gone out from the mountains where Jerusalem is now. And when they get there, they're preaching the word of God, the word to no one but the Jews only. Some have made it as far as Cyprus and Antioch. That's a long way away. Antioch is up towards Syria now. And so they're reaching out and they're going beyond and they're taking with them the word, but they're speaking only to Jews. They hadn't quite understood yet that this gospel is for everyone. Appreciate the songs that Cookie's leading for us this morning, trying to get us to think about taking this word to everybody. Everybody needs to hear this. For the Jews, that was especially surprising. They were God's chosen people. And so when something new came along from God, it was given to God's chosen people only. They believed. But the gospel was meant for everybody. So at this point, they're taking the word to no one but Jews only, verse 19 says. But then verse 20, some of them were men from Cyprus. They had lived on the island of Cyprus out in the Mediterranean. Some were from Cyrene. That's the area that we might know as Libya today. It's over just beyond Egypt in the north of Africa. And when they had come to Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists. The Hellenists are the Greek Jews. They're a Greek people. Helen was the famous Helen of Troy. Helen became synonymous with Greece. The Greek culture was Hellenistic. And so these men who had come from Cyprus and Cyrene, places that were outside of the only Jew area of Jerusalem and Judea, they were familiar with the Hellenists. They spoke the Greek language fluently. They understood the Greek culture. They knew what to expect when dealing with pagans. And so they began to take the word of salvation to the pagans as well. They had a similar background. Although they were Jews in faith, they were Hellenists by culture. And so they could connect with these people. And so those from Cyprus and Cyrene began to preach also to the Hellenists. But what's interesting to me about these two verses is the parallel that we see. The ones who went out speaking to the Jews were preaching the word. The ones who went speaking to the Hellenists were preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, it's the same thing. The Lord Jesus was revealed in the word. The Jews knew the Old Testament so they could connect all those words. The Greeks didn't, so they began with the Lord Jesus. And they could make the connections backward, but they started with the Lord Jesus. Now remember what was said about Philip when he went out in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the Lord. He preached Christ to them. What we see in this parallel is that they're actually doing the same thing. When we preach the word, we're preaching Christ. The word itself points to him. He told the Pharisees in John chapter 8, this word's been speaking of me. You don't understand it because you haven't been looking for me in the Bible. You've been looking for me in your ideas, but I've come to fulfill what the Bible says. I'm the one you should be looking for. And they rejected him for that. He said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. But that's where it began, was with Christ. And so, as we go out, we should start where they began. You should be preaching the word, and preaching the word means preaching the Lord Jesus. There's such a temptation, though, to preach other things. There's such a temptation to preach the church. You'd love it, where we're just so simple. We keep it simple. We just try to do exactly what's in the Bible. Those are good things. They're true things, but is that where we should begin? Why don't you just come and do things the way we do them? You're doing them wrong the way you do them. Come do them right the way we do them. What do you gain with that? Some might begin to analyze and say, you're right. Yeah, well, I've been doing things wrong. But I can do them that way. And so they just kind of jump from one church to another. They pick up a doctrine they think they can abide by. I think I can do that. What they've done is they've switched churches. But unless they've heard the Lord and they've come to believe in Him, they haven't really been converted. They've just switched churches. We need to be very careful about what we're preaching. If we're preaching the Word, we ought to be preaching the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying doctrine's not important. Doctrine's absolutely important. But sometimes we begin with doctrine and we leave the Lord completely out. The only reason the doctrine's important is because the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. But if it's just a matter of doing my checklist and saying, yeah, I can do that. I didn't like doing that over there anyway. I can do this over here. All you've done is change religion. That's not what these men went out teaching. They went out teaching the Lord. They went out teaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to watch how subtle this is, but how important it is. Verse 21. What's the result when people go preaching the Lord Jesus? The hand of the Lord was with them. Now, in this context, it means they were confirming that word by miraculous teaching. In Mark chapter 16, when Jesus sent the apostles out, he said, those who believe will, in my name, cast out demons, will very other things. They'll heal people, they'll be able to drink deadly things, no harm will come to them, they can pick up serpents. And it says in that text that the Lord went out with them confirming as they preached, confirming the word. That's what this means here. The hand of the Lord was with them. As they taught these things, the Lord confirmed it by miraculous action. And so these Gentiles who had never seen that, these Hellenists, these pagans who had never seen such things, looked at that word and said, what word of power is this? What kind of power is behind this word? The Jews did the same thing. In Mark chapter 1, when Jesus cast a demon out in the synagogue, they said, what new teaching is this? His word has authority. Even over demons, his word has authority. We need to listen to what he's saying. And they were amazed at his teaching. And so as the apostles went out with the promise that they could also confirm their word with these miracles, they did. The hand of the Lord was with them. But I want you to see what the result of that was. Verse 21. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. I want you to think about that for a moment. They believed what? They believed what was being preached. They didn't believe the miracles. I mean, the miracles were awesome. But they believed what the miracles were pointing to, the word that was being taught, the Lord Jesus. So they believed and they turned to the miracles. They believed and they turned to the Lord. That's what the text says. When you start with the Lord, the end result is going to be the Lord. You preach the Lord, people turn to the Lord. When you start with the church, people turn to the church. There are people that we're familiar with. They come and they'll knock on your door. And they'll say, let me tell you about, they're wearing white and a little tag. Let me tell you about the church of Jesus Christ. And this is what they start with. Let me tell you about the church. And they did. And they make some convincing arguments about their church. It's just a method of doing it. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses will come along and they'll begin telling you about paradise on earth. What it's going to be like. Don't you want to be a part of that? But they're telling you about a thing. They're not telling you about a person. In fact, they'll deny Jesus' lordship, the Jehovah's Witnesses will, won't they? And so they begin with something that's appealing to you and make you want to be a part of that. And so if that's what you believe, that's what you'll turn to. But if we begin with the Lord Jesus by preaching his word, only what he said, when people believe that, what will they turn to? The Lord Jesus. Your faith will be in what you hear. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That's something that God has put within us. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, he says. If you want faith in God, then you must hear about God. If you want faith in a church, keep listening about the church. If you want faith in evolution, keep studying about evolution. The more you hear something, the more apt you'll be to believe in that thing. They went out preaching the Lord. And the more people believed in the Lord, the more people turned to the Lord. That phrase, turn to the Lord, is conversion. That's what it means to turn to something. You convert. That's the idea behind conversion. You turn from something to something else. The only one who matters that we turn to is the Lord. Now look at verse 22. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. That is a verse that can make people struggle for a minute. News of these things came to the ears of the church. When I walked in this morning, I did not see any ears on the side of the building. But the idea most people have about church is that it's a place where you meet. But places don't have ears. What I love about this text is what it says without saying too much. What is the church here? It's the people in Jerusalem. Those people who had already turned to the Lord in another place got word that people way out of Antioch were turning to the Lord. News came to their ears.
You know how the Bible describes the church? Obviously, it's people. But the Bible describes the church as a body, an organism, a living body with a head who is Christ and members who make up that body. The way we typically think of church, even among ourselves sometimes, is as an organization. We'll talk about Jesus instituted the church. So we have this idea that Jesus wanted a church, and so he built this church. He said to Peter, I'll build my church, and even the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So we think, all right, Jesus built this thing, and then he went and started getting people to put in it. That's a very human concept of the church. You build a really nice building, and then we put people in it. If you build it, they will come. That kind of concept. But that's not the way the Bible says. If there were no people, there'd be no church. If no one had turned to the Lord, there'd be no church. Wouldn't matter how many gorgeous buildings with a cross on top of it, stained glass windows you had, there'd be no church if there were no people. Which is why the church begins in Acts chapter 2. When 3,000 people turn to the Lord, they believe the preaching of Peter, and they're baptized. They become converted to the Lord that way. Then you have a church, but not until then.
And so, the ears of the church is what received this news. And so we begin to get this feel in this verse that the church is something more than just a building, a meeting place. The church is people. And there's a really cool grammatical detail here. I'm a word person, a language person, so this stuck out to me as soon as I saw it. These things, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. How often do we take a singular word like church and then say that? They sent Barnabas. The church they sent. That doesn't work in English unless we understand the church describes a plural collective of people. That makes perfect sense. So the church is not an organization. It's not a building. It's a meeting of people. In this case, people who already had turned to the Lord. It's a local church in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas out
to take care of this need. And so, they sent Barnabas as far as Antioch. Barnabas is one of those interesting people. We were told earlier that it was people from Cyprus and Cyrene who were speaking to the Hellenists. In Acts chapter 4, we meet Barnabas the first time. He is a Levite, a Jew from the Levitical, from the priestly line. But he comes from Cyprus. That's where his home is. He's a Hellenistic Jew. As a Levite, he's a Jew who would really understand the law. But he comes from a Greek background. Who better to send to a church where Greeks are starting to come in, where these Hellenists are being converted? Here's someone who knows both kinds. He knows the history. He can teach them all about God and God's promises up through the Christ. And he knows the culture of the Hellenists, so you can go in there and say, here's the way I would do this. I grew up with these people. Here's what I'll deal with. Barnabas is a great man to send.
And so we see in verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And encourage them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord.
Isn't that an interesting way to say that? He came and saw the grace of God. The grace of God, is that something visible? Don't we tend to think of the grace of God as something that I get? Grace means a gift, right? It's something that's given. And grace is just something that I get. It may be something I'm feeling I have. I'm just feeling gracious today. I'm feeling full of grace today. We talk like that. We don't use grace the way the Bible uses grace. We don't use faith the way the Bible uses faith either.
But it says here that he saw the grace of God. I want to turn you on to a section of Scripture in Titus chapter 2 that I believe describes perfectly what Barnabas saw here. Titus chapter 2, I'm going to mark your place in Acts 11 because we'll be back. But look at Titus chapter 2 starting at verse 11. Titus chapter 2 starting at verse 11. Here's what Paul wrote. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It's manifest. It's become visible to all men. How? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Reading that, what do you think Barnabas saw when he got to Antioch?
Here's a man who grew up around pagans. He knows what those people are like. They're idolaters. They're lost in their carnality. He gets to Antioch, and what does he find? People who have denied ungodliness. People who are living righteously and soberly in this present age, they're zealous to do what's good. They received him saying, tell us more. What else can we do to please the Lord who saved us from certain death?
The grace of God is visible in people who are living by the grace of God.
You can just see it. It makes a difference. It's not something that's felt. It's something that makes a tangible, visible difference in the lives of those who have been touched by it.
Now, the grace of God came teaching men. The grace of God came through His Word. That's how these people learned to be different. They listened to His Word. They believed His Word. They turned to the Lord. And they grew to do what the Lord wanted them to do. So he came and saw the grace of God, and of course he was glad. These people are completely different than I expected they would be. So he encourages them to, with purpose of heart, continue.
And I want to reread the text, because there's something that happens here.
I'll come back to what he actually said, but I want to start reading the text again at verse 19. I'm going to read it wrong. I encourage you to follow along. Anybody who reads the text wrong, you correct them. I'm going to correct myself afterward. But I want to read it wrong so you hear what we usually hear when we read this text, what most people hear when we read this text, not what's written. Starting in verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists preaching the church. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the church. News of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad, encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue in the church. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the church.
See what I did there? Now, isn't that what we usually think when we read through that text? Every time I put the word church in, it was the word Lord. But when we start with the church, I'm looking for a church where I'll feel comfortable. Go to the church of your choice. You see that all the time on bumper stickers, and bumper sticker religion says that. I want a church where my family can be well accepted. No, you don't. You want a church where the Lord is the focus. He's not the focus you want. The church is the people. So if the people are not focused on the Lord, they're not going to help you focus on the Lord. If the people all leave the Lord and you are tied to the church, you're going to leave the Lord with the people. You want to be added to the Lord. And so that's what these men went out. They taught the Lord.
The hand of the Lord was with them, and many people turned to the Lord. They were encouraged that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord.
How often do we hear someone say, you know, so-and-so left the church? No, they didn't. They didn't leave us. They left the Lord. That's why it's so bad. But we betray the way we think about church sometimes, because that becomes our focus.
I love you all, but I love you because of the Lord. You are not my focus. The Lord is my focus.
And because of that, then I can serve you properly. And I can love you like I should love you. Because of Him being your focus, you can love me like you love Him. People ask me sometimes about my marriage. We came into this marriage focused on the Lord. And so our marriage has been easy. At least I thought I had my wife. I said something different. But we've come into it focused on the Lord. So our love for each other starts with Him. And so when problems arise, we know we've got to work it out because there's someone who's above us that's going to hold us accountable. It's not because I just want her to be nice to me. It's because I've got to keep the Lord pleased with the way I'm treating my sister in Christ, who is also my wife. That's an important thing. When we start with the Lord and we gather together in His name, then we're a church of the Lord.
When we start with the church and we say, I sure love Jesus,
but we never talk about His will. We never do what He says to do. We're just doing something that appeals to us because I want a church where I feel good. We missed it all. Sometimes church doesn't feel good.
Being together where we're going to be exhorted to do better than we've been doing. We're going to be told,
I don't think you're doing pretty well. What's wrong with you? And then someone's going to help me get back up. That doesn't feel good sometimes. But it helps us.
Barnabas went there and he encouraged them with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord.
That's an interesting thing to think about. What was the reason that Jesus came? Didn't He tell people that I came to seek and to save that which was lost? I came to bring back those lost sheep of the house of Israel. but also I have sheep of another fold that I want to bring in. The idea is those had been subtracted from the Lord. Sin had separated them from God, but he came back to pay the price for sin and to add them to the Lord. That's the idea. So that's what happens when people hear the Lord preached.
When the hand of the Lord is with those preachers. When they turn to the Lord. When with purpose of heart they continue with the Lord. The end result is they're added to the Lord. That's where we want to be. We want to be part of His body. We want to be added to Him.
That way when He comes to get those who are His, I'm one of those. I don't want to be added to the church. It's an important thing to be a member of a local congregation. Later on, we're going to talk about a member who wants to join with us today. It's an important thing. But you can only truly be a member of a local congregation if you're first a member of the Lord. If you're not, that doesn't matter how many churches you're a member of. That's not going to help you on the final day.
We want to be added to the Lord. And that's what happened here. So Barnabas realizes in verse 25 that he's going to need some help. There's a lot of people that were converted here.
He's just one man. He's been helpful, but he needs more help.
And so he goes to Tarsus, where he knows that Saul has gone. And he finds Saul and he brings him back to Antioch. And for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people.
Doesn't say they assembled in the church, at the church.
They're with the church. They're part of it here. And what is the church doing? Teaching a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians
in Antioch. Isn't that an interesting thing to think about as well? Here's the first time where you've got not just Jews, not just Jews who had converted later in life and become Jews, but now you've got Jews and people who never became Jews at all. Gentiles, Hellenists, that were converted straight to Christ. What are you going to be? You can't say we're Jewish Christians. You can't say we're Jews who believe anymore. You've got to have something else to call yourselves. We're Christians. We believe in Christ. Because Christ was the focus. They didn't say we're churchians. They weren't called churchers. They were called Christians. His name, the Lord's name they took. Isn't that amazing to think about that? They could have been called Antiochians. They were the church in Antioch, in essence, of being the people converted to the Lord in that city. But I want to think about that for a second.
Let's imagine that we're all together, and to make this possible in today's age, we're going to take a cruise together across the Atlantic, all of us.
Let's imagine that we're from all different walks of life. None of us are Christians yet. We're taking this cruise, and the ship sinks. But by the grace of God, we all are saved. We float over to a deserted island. The only thing on that island is a lot of food and some boxes of Bibles washed up from off the boat. And so we got nothing to do. We start reading the Bibles. We'd never read it before. We didn't know anything about it. But we start reading it, and we start reading through what people did, how they understood who the Christ was. We can compare the old and new, and we see this man was the Savior. And so, little by little, we begin to believe because we've got the text in the Bible right there before us. We begin to baptize one another. So now we're Christians. What are we going to call ourselves? We're Islandites. Maybe you're on an island, but it's not the island that was the focus. What was the focus? Christ was. We are the shipwrecked Bible baptizers. Well, maybe. I mean, that's kind of the description, but was that the focus, that we were shipwrecked? And therefore, no. Christ became the focus, as we read about Him. So Christians will be what we'll call us. But then, finally, after 8 years, somebody finds us with a helicopter flying over, and they send the boat, take us all back. We go our separate ways. We all go back to our hometowns and tell our family we're alive. But we want them to know what we did. And so then we start saying, you got to go get shipwrecked, you got to end up on an island, then you'll become a believer. No, that didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, that just was part of the function of getting us this. But we would say, have you read this? You got one of these books laying around your house somewhere. Have you read it? When am I start reading it with them? We'll begin to preach Christ to them, preach the Lord to them, from the same thing that was preached to us from the book, because none of us knew it before that. But are we going to be able to then say, well, you got to become a Catholic now? We don't know anything about Catholicism. There's no Catholics on that island. There's a bunch of people that read the Bible and became what the Bible says. You got to become a Baptist now, or a Mormon, or a Jehovah's Witness. That wouldn't make any sense. It also wouldn't make any sense. You've got to become an Islandite now. No. The focus is the Lord. So if we'll teach the Lord to them, if they'll believe, and turn to the Lord, if they'll with purpose of heart stay with the Lord, and if they'll be added to the Lord, they've done the same thing we did, about that. What would they be called? Christians. Do you need anything more than that? He gets the honor and glory.
That's what we are. You struggle sometimes when someone asks you, hey, what religion are you? And then you say, well, I'm Church of Christ. Well, I'm a Christian. Isn't that the best response? I'm a Christian. Now, I worship with a group of people that calls themselves a Church of Christ. We're a church, we're a group of people. But it's not that that's the name of our building, Church of Christ, or the name of our organization. It's a description. They were the Church of Christ in Antioch. We're the Church of Christ in Ashley Heights. But it's a description, it's not a title. We can call ourselves simply the Christians who meet at Ashley Heights. I know a lot of people who've done that. A Church of Christ, I saw on a sign somewhere. It's a Church of Christ, not the Church of Christ. It's a Church of Christ. That's a description. Well, people will say, well, that's crazy, though. I mean, you made up the thing about the shipwreck. That can't happen today, because you go into a community, there's already a bunch of churches there, so you just choose one of them. It can't happen today. I worked in a really small town one time, 2,000 people. Went in, there was a man who had come out of the Presbyterian Church and been studying his Bible and said, we'd like to get some of our friends together and study. We just want to study the Bible. We just want to do what it says. There were 40 people the first time. Five of those people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as we preached. They turned to him. They decided they were going to meet together and stay firm with the Lord. And they were added to the Lord. We baptized on that trip. I spent a week there with them, giving them some basics about how to run a worship service, just looking at what the text said, like Corinthians 14, for example, some others. And then, I was gone. They continued, just those five people, in a city that had other churches, but they wanted to do what the Bible said. It can be done. But you have to focus first on the Bible, not on how can we fix these churches. That's just not going to happen. We start with the Bible. Now, if people that are members of there convert and say, let's go back and talk to our friends and see if they'll listen to what the Bible says, that's great. You've got an in. But it's going to be much harder to go in to each of these churches and try to convert everybody. That would be just to start open the Bible and say, listen. Then you get people from everywhere. The Hellenists, the Jews, the barbarians, whoever they are. Start with the Lord. The end result will be preach the Lord. They turned to the Lord. They stayed firm with the Lord, and they were added to the Lord. I don't know what your situation is today. I would love nothing more than for you to turn to the Lord.
He's the focus. It's not us. I think we're nice people here, but it's only because of what the Lord has made us. He's the focus. If you're here today and not a Christian, we can fix that today. We can help you with that. We can teach you more if you don't know enough. But if you already know what you need to know, and you're willing to come forward and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of your sins at home, come on and have those things washed away, you can begin a new life today as a Christian. That's what you are, a disciple of Christ, a Christian. We wouldn't want to call you anything else than that. If you are a Christian, you've been struggling, and you haven't been living with the Lord as your focus, and you've been focused too much on the church, focused too much on yourself, on your job, or whatever it is that's pulling you away from the Lord, we want to help you and encourage you to do better than that. Whatever your need might be, won't you repent and come forward and let us know while we stand and sing this song to encourage you.